barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
You'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting. I don't care anymore. I'm joking. I never did.
Braxton Miller's loose spin move. Miller heading for the end zone.
You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world.
He'll run it after the 10, 15, 20. 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Lucky for me, the press can barely speak English.
But they are who we thought they were.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson. And he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Well, then get the fuck out of here, then. Okay, see ya.
It is Tuesday, September 6th. Welcome to Menace to Sports on this fine college football free Tuesday. I feel like we've had college football. We had college football Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Man, you can't envision a better kickoff weekend to college football if you don't count week zero, because I don't. What a weekend, Chris. And we got a lot to talk about on this show. Most importantly, and you saw the graphic, you see the headline, it's about time to be the guillotine against Clemson football and Dabo forever, because they're in a slow demise, right? It's like someone that is dying a slow death from some tragic disease. Like, you're watching it happen, and that disease's name is Dabo Sweeney, right? Like, I got the Dabo. It's like Lou Gehrig's disease for college football programs. Oh, what happened to Ohio State? Oh, man, in 2028, they got the Dabo Sweeney. Like, that's what it is. It is a terminal illness to college football programs. Dabo Sweeney has completely demolished everything he built at Clemson, and now we're going to act as the guillotine. We're just going to cut that head off right here, right now. If you are watching live, comment below. How long until Dabo Sweeney is no longer the head coach at Clemson? That's my question, because it could happen as soon as this year. He probably's earned enough respect that it'll last a while. It'll probably be one of those things where, you know, he should have retired, should have resigned, gave up his spot, but he won't, because he just wants to have a seat at the table. But in your opinion, what college football season will be the first season with someone else coaching Clemson? So we're going to talk about that, talk about the Buckeyes, talk about a bunch of other shit. Oh, Texas Bama this weekend, Chris. Are you excited for that?
I am really excited. The Quinn Ewers game.
Quinn Ewers game. So a lot of topics. And also, as always, if you have a question, the chat sometimes pops off. Go ahead and super chat that question, and Chris will get it on the screen. It is a college football roundtable here on Menace to Sports. We appreciate you. If you haven't yet, hit subscribe, like this video, and again, comment when Dabo Sweeney will no longer be the head coach at Clemson. Chris, how's your Tuesday going?
Oh, it's really good. I'm excited about today's show. We kind of overhauled on all the all the college football content. We're the only people putting it out just daily for an hour, hour and a half, every single day, even on the weekends, and I'm happy to be back on a Tuesday, dog, especially after week one is over. Had time to kind of settle, rest, think about what we saw over the weekend. And then, of course, that Georgia Tech game last night. I am a big Georgia Tech fan. I will give you that. Been that way for a long time. Was rooting for him. Knew it was tough. But
yeah, it was going to be positive. Tough. And I'm going to get into kind of my thoughts in a minute. But you know what?
Oh, I have Chris's corner coming up. I'm recording it later today, just for everyone wondering and asking about it.
Yeah. Hey, holiday weekend pushed Chris back a little bit. Unlike me, he couldn't get his shit done on time. So here we are. But yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, Jeff Sims, I love that kid. I mean, I think he is a dude. He has a chance. He needs an offensive line. And I don't want to jump ahead of myself, and we'll get into that breakdown here in a second. But I just loved him. I thought Georgia Tech was well coached. I thought the running backs played well. Jeff Sims is a dude. I really do. He's
AR-15 with the less talented roster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Far less talented roster. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was a good job by Georgia Tech. I mean, two and a half quarters in, and it is a 4-point game. And they are, 5 minutes left in the third quarter. It is a ball game. And then Clemson kind of blew it open because they couldn't finish the job. They're right. Way more talented. I mean, that watching Georgia Tech's O-line try to block Clemson's front defensive line was just like, holy shit, this is not even remotely fair. That offensive line at Georgia Tech needs a lot of work.
They only have 82 scholarship players.
Yeah, down three. I mean, that's not good. But It was a shame. But I do want to mention, Chris, before we go any further, our Patreon is popping off. I mean, crazy. I mean, like it never has before. I mean, we have almost 500 subscribers on there. So if you're interested in the VIP experience, I can throw the graphic on there. The link is right below Chris and in the bio. One of the hottest things going is this general group chat. I guess I could put that one up there. This general group chat is absolutely going crazy. It's a group chat with Chris and I and all of our highest tier subscribers. And also Sarah Blake's big old titties are in there. So you can take a peek at those, which is definitely a sight to see. But yeah, it's going crazy. Just college football conversation 24/7 at your fingertips. It's awesome. So go check that out at patreon.com/menace2sports. I don't have a lot to plug. I could also tell you about our handicapping Menace to Picks, tell you to go to my bookie with the promo code Menace to get a free deposit match. But we will move on with the show, Chris.
Yep, I'm ready. I am ready.
Well, let me give you my thoughts, Chris, before we go further. I just want to get this Clemson-Georgia Tech thing out the way. Mm-hmm. Here was my thoughts. Clemson's offense is fucking putrid. It's embarrassing. Shame on Dabo Swinney for running this garbage and ruining the career of a very, very talented player. DJ Uiagalelei is as talented a quarterback as any of these other kids you're watching, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud. Some of the throws he made, his athletic ability. I mean, one of the most impressive plays I saw was that the offensive line from Clemson is a joke, and that he's getting hit by two dudes and he underhand flips the ball to the running back on 3rd and 5 and converts a first down. Like the kid is a baller. He's a baller. Mm-hmm. And you look at this and it was 14-10 with 5 minutes left in the third quarter. Mind you, they blocked a punt and got the ball in the 3 or 4 yard line for that first score. And this offense is so bad. They ran zone read three or four times in a row, right? It didn't. And it took them 4 plays to score from the 4 yard line against an overmatched Georgia Tech defense. And the only reason they scored on 4th down was because Georgia Tech's defense was out, misaligned, and there was no C-gap player. There was just no player there. And so the Georgia Tech stonewalled the offensive line, and the running back just slid to the C-gap and walked in the end zone because Georgia Tech was misaligned. That's the only reason they scored. It wasn't execution. It was pure luck. If Georgia Tech was aligned right and had a C-gap player, they get stuffed on 4th down, and that whole game's different. Now, we could talk about the 4th quarter and how they kind of blew it open, but anyone with a brain would have saw that coming because Georgia Tech just – they ran out of gas, right? They didn't have the personnel and the depth to battle Clemson for 4 quarters, and that's not that surprising, right? But – all in all, I mean, it was a joke. It was a joke.
It was crazy. Well, first of all, I mean, the Clemson offensive line, Zach, is so bad. Like, they started a true freshman at right tackle, and they were getting abused by that same front four. And you saw the moment where they ran out of gas because, obviously, they're not that deep of a rotation. Like, it was bad, Zach.
It was horrible.
I know everyone's going to talk about how bad DJ is as a whole. DJ is, like you said, a super, super talented quarterback, and we've seen it before. Like, there's proof of it. You know the 3 most impressive games in Clemson history in a single game? Deshaun Watson throwing for 580 against Pittsburgh, who was unranked. Taj Boyd throwing for 455 against Syracuse, who was unranked. And then DJ throwing for 439 against a top 10 Notre Dame defense in his very first start. We saw that. We saw the talents there. You don't get that good and then all of a sudden fall off a cliff immediately.
Here's the problem, though, Chris. This is a fucking horrifically coached football team. This is one of those instances. Clemson had 17 missed tackles on defense. Georgia Tech had 15. So both were sloppy tackling. But Clemson was awful. Their fundamentals are horrid, terrible. The offensive line, the whole defense. Venables is gone, apparently. Well, I mean, he is obviously gone. But the defense was not any better. They weren't. Their defensive line played out of their mind. That's how this game was. That's how they won the game. They had 17 missed tackles, and DJ Uiagalelei played well. Like, we can shit on DJ all we want if we don't want to open our eyes to the problem. I mean, you can go to any analytic. 2 for 4 on deep balls, 50%. That's adequate, right? That is above average. 4 for 9 on throws over 9 yards, 33% under pressure, 46% when blitzed. But here's the issue. They had 6 fucking drops. If you count those drops as catches, right, which is the quarterback's job, to put it where it can be caught, he had an 86% adjusted completion percentage. He almost completed 90% of his passes if it wasn't for these fucking receivers that can't catch. It's the pass pro was terrible. He made some big-time plays. I already mentioned the underhand throw, and down the stretch, he I mean, he played well. But when it's 5:45 left in the game, you have a quarterback that's playing like that and getting no help from anyone on offense, essentially. It's 14-10. Georgia Tech runs out of gas. The offense is awful. It isn't a sound scheme. It doesn't have answers in the throw game. There's times where they showed the end zone view. I wish I had all 22 of this because I could really just make a cut up and fucking Dabo would be fired by Monday. They showed an end zone clip of a 3rd and 8. And I, for the life of me, have no fucking idea what the route combination was or where the hell DJ was supposed to look or go. It was like a switch release. Everyone was covered, and they're just kind of running 3/4 speed, looking at him, and two of the kids stop, and the other keep going, and you're like, looking at the concept, like, where the hell did you want him to throw the ball? It's just, it's a travesty to college football. It is a crime on humanity. We can be as dramatic as you want. It is criminal what Dabo Swinney has done to DJ Uiagalelei. Period. Point blank.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think he looked very great yesterday. It looked like he wasn't seeing the field as good as you would expect a third-year player to. He did seem a little bit scattered. Part of that may have been because of the fact that the offensive line was so bad. Everything felt a little bit rushed from him. I did like his willingness to run the ball. I thought he did well there. But it certainly feels like Dabo and the scheme is doing him no favors. I don't think he was great. But, boy, there's a couple little things that could be done to take this, like, decent performance and make it a good one. Just coaching alone, just one or two things to tweak.
And this is my issue, right? This is fucking Clemson. They were in multiple college football playoffs, multiple national championship games. Like, they should have a star-studded Jim Knowles type of coach, Ryan Day type of coach, right? Kevin Wilson, Tony Alford's,
Bill O'Brien, that's what they should have. Sark, somebody.
Their offensive staff looks like the cast of Stranger Things. It's like, what the fuck? Who are these people that Dabo hired? Did he hire some big-time coaches? Well, let's take a look at their staff, the fucking Stranger Things staff, right? Let's go through it. Brandon Streeter, the QB coach and offensive coordinator, has never coached anywhere but Clemson. He was a first-time, full-time assistant at Clemson. I get it. He coached Deshaun Watson. He coached Trevor Lawrence. Generational talents, and I don't care what you say. If you watch the film, they regressed every single year. Now you got DJ Uiagalelei, the first time. And you can't tell me he hasn't regressed. Good Lord. Right? So these are the coaches that are putting together the scheme, the development, the game plan, everything, right? Kyle Richardson, the tight end and pass game coordinator. This is his first season on the field as a full-time coach. He was a former support staffer at Clemson. Tyler Grisham, the wide receiver coach. This is his second season on the field as a full-time position coach, was a former support staffer. Thomas Austin, the O-line coach, was also a former support staffer. He has 2 years of experience at Georgia State. And then C.J. Spiller, the former All-American great player at Clemson, is the running back coach. So the problem here is they don't have experienced coaches that Clemson should have. Can you imagine if Ryan Day's entire staff was a bunch of former interns that he elevated? The guys that have never coached a position, never recruited, never developed a game plan. They've been interns. In this day and age, when you hire someone at Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, 90% of those hires should be guys that have a career built, that have gained experience learning how to be a full-time coach somewhere the fuck else. It's not your time to cut your teeth as a baby coach at Clemson. You go coach at fucking Citadel, and then work your way up to Georgia State, and then work your way up to Marshall, then work your way up to Virginia, and then Clemson comes calling. You don't take some fucking kid who's great at making copies and say, hey, here's a possible first rounder. Make him one. Mm-hmm. It's the dumbest shit I've ever seen. Dabo is so fucking out of touch from his staff hires, his inability or unwillingness to utilize the portal, his inability and unwillingness to recognize NIL is the future. All of this is the reason that Dabo Swinney is dead. His program is dead. Clemson is done. They're finished. Kaput.
They're done. Guillotine. And I want to add to your point, Zach. Quarterback developers are a commodity. So whenever there is one that people believe is one, that person gets hunted for other jobs, right? Streeter was the quarterback coach for two guys that were first rounders. Zach, guess who came calling and knocking? Nobody. Not a soul. Now, in comparison, when Ryan Day was the quarterback coach at Ohio State, just a quarterback coach, had a 1 year, Guess what? Guess who came calling and knocking? Mississippi State. They said, we want you to take our offensive coordinator job. The fact of the matter is, it's not just us seeing this regression. It's other coaches. Because if he was as good of a quarterback developer as some people tout him to be, or as his resume would suggest because the first rounders, someone else would have came calling. We would have heard of it. Second, nobody's called. Nobody's knocked.
Nobody.
And everybody's and regressed.
I see Cade Klubnik is in the chat. He came in late in the game, and he doesn't want to listen to this radio guy. He's going to listen to a coach that won two national titles. I really wish him well and hope he has a great career. And I apologize that he picked such a fucking horrific offensive staff, because the reality is, Cade, you're a young kid. You don't know any better. I get it. I've been around dozens of coaches. Mm-hmm. Dabo Swinney won two national titles because he had a legitimate big time coaching staff. Great. Jeff Scott, Mike Elliott, Brent Venables, like great coaches that now have went on to greener pastures, and he didn't replace those coaches with good coaches. Your own coach is a fraud. I apologize that you're in that situation. I'm happy that you would like to defend your coach. I am, but I don't give a fuck. I'm here to tell the truth. And the truth is, Clemson is dead. You'll probably be in the portal soon, because you'll realize that you're never going back to that promised land, and it's not your fault. That's
Cade Klubnik, but that message can be sent to Cade Klubnik also. The meat writing is unbelievable. That shit's crazy. Oh, I love it. But again, Zach, the talent. So in the quarterback class with Bryce Young, it was Bryce, CJ, and DJ. Those were the guys. Those are the guys that the people felt like had the highest upside. We've seen now two of them perform. All three are going to be draft eligible. Two of them are going to go to the draft. I don't know if DJ finishes the season as starting quarterback at Clemson. And if I were DJ, I wouldn't want to start the season as a starting quarterback at Clemson.
Well, and here's the reality. The coaches are not going to own this. They're not going to own the fact that what they're doing to this offense and this kid is a crime. I mean, it's criminal to his future and his career. They won't admit that. They will blame DJ. And they will bench DJ, and then it'll be Cade's fault, right? Mm-hmm. But in that process, DJ needs to fucking hit the highway. Get up out of Dodge so fast. He needs to take that route as fast as he can and get out of town. That's what he needs to do.
In fact, and there's quarterback developers out there. There's guys that have proven that they can develop. And I'm curious for you, Zach. I don't want to, you know, without being too mean to who Ohio State has on the roster. If you're Ohio State and say DJ and his brother Mateo are a package deal, do you take DJ?
Oh, absolutely. You absolutely take DJ. I mean, listen, Ohio State, we don't know what Ohio State has behind CJ Stroud right now. I know they have all the talent in the world in you know, Kyle McCord, Devin Brown, Dylan Rayola is going to come in eventually.
24.
I mean, right. We know they have talented kids that we don't know what they are. But if I'm Ohio State, I absolutely will entertain bringing DJ in. One, if it's going to help you get his brother, that's great. Two, I'm watching. I studied the film, and I didn't study much Clemson film last year, especially after they lost to Georgia. And then you saw their program was on the demise, and they weren't going to be nationally relevant. That's when I kind of tuned them out, because I really focused the show on the Midwest and the national landscape. That's what it is. This show is about the Midwestern football brand and the national landscape as it applies, right? So I didn't watch a lot of Clemson down the stretch last year. I studied the shit out of this game. This kid can really play. He's got the tools. He's got the arm talent. He's athletic. He's got all of it. He doesn't have an offense that is competent. That's his issue. He doesn't have a coach that is developing him and teaching him. And he's not becoming a great quarterback. He's just not. And I think with Ryan Day in an offense like Ohio State, this kid could flourish.
I agree. I don't know if you take – I mean, I don't see any issues with taking him. I mean, to run kind of the full Ryan Day offense to the best of everybody's ability, like the full Ryan Day opened up offense, to me at least, is the offense we saw with Justin Fields. Now, we know Kyle McCord isn't as mobile as Justin Fields, or didn't have the arm strength of Justin Fields. I mean, a guy that probably has a stronger arm and is, similar mobile-wise is DJ. Now, we're going to see how highly we think of Kyle McCord here pretty soon, because once DJ enters the portal, we're going to see who calls. And if Ryan Day and Ohio State calls, it means one thing. It means they're not as sold on Kyle McCord and Devin Brown as everyone else is.
Well, that's just the reality, right? The good news is this is this is for talk radio. And I'm not going to make an opinion on Kyle McCord. I'm certainly not going to say that he's not a good player because I don't know. I've seen Kyle McCord in limited action, and that is no right. indication of what type of player he actually is. And we're not going to leave out Devin Brown either, because I've heard a lot of great things about both Kyle McCord and Devin Brown. But the reality is this. At the end of this season, C.J. Stroud is putting on a suit and going to wherever the fuck the draft is next spring. That's where he's going. He will never wear a scarlet and gray uniform again after this season. Ryan Day's actions, when that happens, when C.J. walks out of the Woody Hayes for the last time, what Ryan Day does will immediately let you know what they have in Columbus. Mm-hmm. If he is business as usual, does nothing, that tells you that either Devin McCord or, either Kyle McCord or Devin Brown, or both, he thinks have a chance to be elite college quarterbacks. If he goes after anyone, DJ or anyone else that's in the portal, that tells you that he has concerns. It doesn't mean they're not. It tells you that he has concerns because he knows that to be at the upper echelon of college football, you have to have that. And Dylan Raiola is not going to be the guy next year, right? He can't be. So it's got to be, he's got to have an elite quarterback. And what Ryan Day does on about January 10th will tell you everything. Does he go after a transfer portal quarterback or not? If he doesn't, you might have something in that quarterback room in Columbus. Mm-hmm.
You know, be crazy. You know, I'd hate to see DJ. I never thought I would ever say this, Zach, and I might be overreacting because of 1 week. I would hate to see DJ in Georgia.
Ooh. Listen. I mean, who knows now? We just watched Stetson Bennett put on a clinic against Oregon.
Talk to me, Zach.
If I would never have prior, on Friday night, if I'm DJ Uiagalelei's dad, Big Dave, right? If I'm him, their last place in the world I'm looking is Georgia. About Saturday at 8 o'clock, I'm scratching my head saying, might be interesting. Let's see how this year plays out. Because Stetson Bennett looked like a dude. And just mm-hmm. think about the difference. The difference in development, in scheme, in everything between where Stetson Bennett came from. You talk about a ball of clay. DJ Uiagalelei has a much
unlimited
bigger,
ball of clay.
Better ball of clay than Stetson Bennett was. And Stetson Bennett outplayed him by a fucking 10 miles. So now I'm looking at Georgia. Bryce Young's leaving too, by the way. Let's not forget that when C.J. Stroud leaves.
No, they like Milroy or whatever.
The same guy, another kid that's putting on a suit and getting ready to go to that draft is also Bryce Young. So now you have Alabama and Ohio State and Georgia, three of the major players in college football, all with departing quarterbacks, all with openings. He may be the most prized recruit in this recruiting class at the mm-hmm. end of this season.
It's gonna be chaos. Do you think he bails after 4 games, just to save a year of eligibility?
I don't know.
I mean, good kid from a good family. I'd be surprised if he bailed after 4 games, but I could see it. I mean, obviously, to save your year of eligibility.
Well, and honestly, I think it's going to come down to what the coaching staff's decisions are. I mean, they look bad against Georgia Tech. They are going to lose games if this is the product we're rolling out on the field. And all the blame is going to go on DJ Uiagalelei. I mean, that's all I heard last year was the kid was a bust. And then I watched the game last night and then rewatched it and studied it this morning. And the kid is not a bust. He's not. I'm watching it live. Mm. He has nowhere to go with the ball. The offensive line is horrible in protection. And as well as Georgia Tech played for 2.5 quarters, they're going to play, I don't know, 6 or 7 teams that are far more talented than Georgia Tech. Mm. What is that game going to look like?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think Georgia Tech is super talented. And, I'm a Georgia Tech fan here. And so, if they play a team with a good offense – like, North Carolina has no defense, but no defense has seemed to stop Clemson in the past. And, Drake May is a good quarterback, and they can definitely open it up. I mean, in that first half, Zach, who looked like the best quarterback on the field? And it's not because he's more talented, but it's just because he was put in better positions, and he hasn't been totally broken by those the Stranger Things cast, as you called him.
No. And honestly, I was impressed with Georgia Tech's offensive skill. I thought their running backs played really well. I thought their receivers played well. Their offensive line was horrible. I mean, that's really what it was. It honestly, if prior to the fourth quarter, the first 3 quarters, Georgia Tech's offense was far better than Clemson's. Far better. Mm-hmm. Not even close.
Bro, that 6'7" wide receiver. We're starting to see those more and more, Zach. The 6'7" wideouts. Else has one? Johnny, Florida State has a 6'7" wideout also. His name is Johnny Wilson. He transferred, I think, 3 times. Or decommitted transfer, all that. But he looked good as well. Zach, I have a question for you because everybody had Clemson as a top 5 team, including myself, in the preseason. I fell in love with the offseason hype. I thought we were going to get, you know, improvement on with that offensive scheme. I thought the offensive line was going to be decent, not great, and I thought that defense was going to carry them to a lot of wins, similar to the build that that Georgia had last year with a very, very good defense and a good enough offense. It seems like I was mistaken.
You were, just like everyone else was, and Chris, I told you you were when you
told
it.
Us. No, you told us, and I admit it. I think they're talented, but definitely.
But you need an indication, right, that things are going to change. You got to have some reason. Like Ohio State, there was an indication that things were going to be different, right? They fired their defensive staff, hired Jim Knowles, a lot of hype around this defense. And so you had at least an inclination that they might get better, right? What was the inclination at Clemson? They didn't add any transfer portal guys. They didn't. There wasn't some miraculous influx of generational talent. They lost both coordinators and replaced them with a bunch of fucking dweebs that made coffee. Like what was the indication that they were going to improve? And that's why I went on a rant last night on Twitter, like, cancel all your fucking viewerships and subscriptions to all these sports media companies, because they are just driving narratives. No one in the world could ever convince you with a sound argument that Clemson was going to be a top five team. No one, because there's no reason. Why would they be? What exactly tells you that Clemson was going to be top five this year? What, they had a nice staff retreat where they went to a hunting lodge for 3 days and ate steaks and really grinded out some X's and O's and developed a new offense? Fuck no. There was no chance this was going to improve from last year to this year. There was no reason, right? You need a reason. Ohio State has a reason, right? Georgia has a reason. Like all these schools, you say, all right, for instance, Georgia, I wasn't as high on them returning as good a team. Why? Because they lost almost everyone. But guess what we found out on Saturday?
They're back.
Those young kids can really play, right?
Really play.
But the coaches remain. Dan Lanning left, but it's Kirby Smart's offense. The coaches were defense. The coaches are still there, right? The coaches that developed and coached and trained that defense, they were still there. Clemson, what was the indication?
I fell for the propaganda. There's like some coaches' propaganda that went on during the offseason, kind of Clemson coaches, whether they meant to do it or not. They essentially, you know, through rhetoric, blamed the season on DJ and his mental state and his weight and he, you know, the hardworking part of it. And so I fell for that, because then when it came in, reported that he was more of a leader, that he lost 30 pounds, that he seemed more focused, I was like, oh, okay. The coaches felt like it was him. He clearly felt like there was some truth to it. And then he came in, made the adjustment. We're going to get a new and improved thing. So I fell for the propaganda of it all. I did. And now turns out that I am wrong. I don't know if we're getting cooked in the chat or not, but
oh, people just want to talk about the fact that I said Georgia wouldn't be top 10. And that was a little dramatic of a take, but I'm
in
still
the summer. When you said it in the summertime,
and I'm still not completely sold on Georgia, and I'm not saying they're not going to be a top 10 team. I believe they are, from what I saw Saturday. I will walk that back. But at the same time, Oregon was awful. We'll see how they fare in the SEC. It's the best conference in the country, and they're going to have to play some really good teams. And we'll see if that offense is actually what we watched on Saturday when they play a formidable opponent. Like, that was not one. Now, did they look impressive? Oh, probably either the most impressive team I watched this weekend or the second most impressive team behind Alabama, although, you know, Alabama played Utah State. Right. But still, I mean, it's just – it is what it is, right? I mean, Georgia – might be a top five team, but they also might be the ninth best team in the country. We're going to find out down the stretch. My point simply is Clemson is certainly not, and there was no indication that they would be. Georgia, you could have hope, right? They've recruited well. Their coaches are elite coaches. They prove that how they developed the championship team. Like, at least you had a reason to believe Georgia might be back in that national landscape conversation. Clemson, you had no reason.
It's funny, Zach. People keep bringing that up, like, from the summertime. And in the summertime, obviously, like we do an hour show every day, like, as we go through the evaluating process. Everything we've said when we did, like, the kind of season previews has been, we are high on Georgia. We believe that they could have something based on the way they recruit and their coaching staff that is assembled, because it is a good coaching staff because they spend the money for it. But, again, you know, we're here on the internet. I have a couple super chats, Zach, and then I want to move on to the next topic.
Yep.
Some dude on TikTok calls him DJ Ooga Booga Doogie.
I mean, that's just ignorant.
Ignorant, bro. What the fuck?
The first, dude. I mean, it is. That's just ignorant. So you don't clown a kid's name like that. No, like, people's last name means something.
Exactly. Especially,
I mean, I've mispronounced his name, and I'd put out a formal apology because I take that stuff seriously. I mean, some of these names are really fucking hard to say, though.
Agreed. Thank you, Easy, for the one. Ooh. Bama will beat Texas the way Georgia beat Oregon.
I think Bama wins convincingly. I don't think they're going to beat them the way that Georgia beat Oregon. I think Texas is a much better team than Oregon, and I think Bama wins, you know, convincingly.
Yeah, what do you think of Kirby Smart's comments saying that, you know, Georgia just has better players? Like, that's what it was.
They do. He was honest. And people want to get all bent out of shape, like, oh, he took a shot at Dan Lanning's players. Like, no, he was just honest. The minute honest conversation becomes taking a shot, you're soft as fuck. Like, Oregon's players need to improve to ever even consider competing with Bama or Georgia, right? It's just what it is.
Two questions. Thank you, Connor, for the five. One, will Dabo's unwillingness to hire outside of his current staff be his collapse? And two, does Texas have any shot on Saturday? LOL. Thanks, Connor, for the five.
No, Dabo's done. We just killed him. but yeah, it's not only his staff. It's his inability to operate and run that program through transition. And that's what, honestly, was one of Urban Meyer's biggest demises. He was great at establishing a program, and then he wasn't great at sustaining change. And Dabo is proving that change is going to be his Achilles heel. I mean, the landscape changed to college football with NIL, transfer portal, and now staffing changes. He hasn't made great hires to replace great coaches with more great coaches. Like, that is the job of a head coach, right? To manage, be the CEO of that program. When you lose a great player, you have to make sure you bring in a great player. When you lose a great coach, you have to bring in a great coach. When your ability and method to do those two things changes, as it has with staff salaries, as it has with NIL, transfer portal, when the landscape and the methods change, you have to adapt. And he doesn't. And that is his true demise. Now, to your second question, no. I mean, Alabama was one of the most impressive teams that played this weekend. I think they're only better than they were last year, and I don't believe Texas is remotely close to being ready for that type of dragon to slay.
Yeah, there's also rumors that Texas is trying to get out of the Ohio State game, now that they moved to the SEC in a couple years. Just some food for thought. Zach, it's funny because I was talking to a Clemson fan on Spaces. I think it was my guy, Austin, I'm pretty sure. And he mentioned to me, I was like, you guys have a quarterback issue, like development issue. And it was before the season. And he basically said, we hope that the offense looks good so the Streeter goes and gets another job. So now it's like everybody knows. It's like he is the problem. And for fans to say that, for fans to wish a staffer on their, you know, on their staff goes and gets another job is insane.
But listen,
as an Ohio State fan, I worry about that.
Listen, Chris, I will, in 2 years, welcome all of the Clemson fans to email me and say, I'm sorry, you were right. I'm glad he's gone. Because the same shit happened in Tom Herman's first year at Texas. When I was saying all these things, Texas fans were killing me in the chat, roasting me on Twitter, just fucking, I mean, the Texas Longhorn Nation was coming after me. I had gotten 50 plus emails and direct messages from Texas fans since Tom has been fired, saying, man, bro, you were right. Like, my bad. I went in on you, but you were right. Like, I will welcome that in 2 years. It will happen. And just know you're welcome to come back to this show. We will still welcome you with open arms. We're a loving platform. We don't spew hate, just the truth.
Sometimes we spew hate. Garrett Bailey, thank you for the two. DJ, I think DJ fits at Arkansas if KJ goes pro.
Man, you imagine DJ in DJ Uiagalelei in a well-coached environment with a tough ass run game, tough ass O-line, actual pass pro. You talk about a home run for Arkansas Razorback fans. Holy shit, that would be awesome.
Let me one up you or ask another question. What about Tennessee to bridge the gap between him and Nico if you want Nico to sit a year?
Yeah, Tennessee less attractive. I can see it. Mm-hmm. I could see it. I mean, you know, they got the money to buy him.
They do. Cash cow. Luke, thank you for the five. Clemson equals Penn State without the sanctions? Question mark.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent.
I mean, they're better. I mean, they won two titles.
I mean, to an extent. No. I mean, Clemson is far more talented than Penn State. Their recruiting base and footprint is far better and easier to recruit to. I mean, Clemson is the lead of the class in the ACC. Penn State has never been the lead of the class in the Big Ten. It just has never. So, no. But I see the comparison, but no, that's completely unfair to Clemson to compare them to Penn State.
Here we go. Here is Ryan Stewart.
That's my guy.
Hey, shout out to you, Ryan. I guess I should have went to Clemson. I did 2 years at Boise State, 3 years at Valpo, 5 years just to get Ohio State, then quality control for 2 years before being considered for a GA. That's the normal path.
That is the normal path. And, you know, the rarities of getting hired from a quality control or an intern or an analyst spot to full time. Most of the time when that happens is because that analyst name is like fucking Mike Locksley or Steve Sarkisian. Right. And that's why that guy gets hired. It's very, very rare that, you know, or you're Corey Dennis and your wife is the daughter of Urban Meyer. Right. Like there's reasons. And usually those reasons are you are an established big time coach. And Ryan was a really good analyst for us at Ohio State. But that is the normal path, what he just said. That's normally what happens, unless you're at Clemson. Like, if you can get an intern spot at Clemson, holy shit, man. Fucking, walk there right now.
Walk there. As a matter of fact, that sounds like a good plan. Zach, last one. Zach, you said Georgia wasn't top three. We've already addressed this.
I still don't know that they are. Now, they looked like it on Saturday, but we'll see.
I have them top three, but it's like, holy shit, like, we can have our fucking opinions. Super chatting us and telling us our opinions back does not change what we already said.
Hey, this is the hill I'm willing to die on.
Well, you're alone there, bucko, because I'm not dying on that hill with you. Zach, currently constructed, do you see a path where Clemson makes a college football playoff?
No.
Currently constructed, can they win the ACC?
I mean, they can. They're the most talented team in the ACC. But what I watched on Saturday, I think they lose to Florida State, Miami. I don't know who else. The ACC is just so fucking bad. But, I mean, Florida State looked well-coached, and that program's on the rise. And my guy Quincy Avery even tweeted it, Chris. You put it here in the show notes. He tweeted out, pains me to say it, but Florida State is going to be the best team in the ACC by next year. And I don't know if it's going to be Florida State, but it's not going to be Clemson. It's going to be either Florida State or Miami, in my opinion. Clemson still has to beat NC State. I mean, North Carolina clearly can score points. They just can't play defense or special teams. But – no, I don't think Clemson wins the ACC. They could. They have the best, most talent. But what I watched Saturday, God, it was an abomination of big-time college football.
Are we watching live, in person, in real time, a changing of the guard in the ACC? I remember we watched it before, Zach. Remember Florida State was top dog in the ACC, and there was nobody to compete with them. And we watched a passing of the torch. Is that happening now? And who is the next team that's going to grab that torch in the ACC?
I will reserve who's going to grab it until I watch Miami play a real team. And I want to see what Mario Cristobal is building. But right now, yes, we're watching that passing of the torch. Yes, Clemson is on the downslide as you're watching teams on the rise like Miami, Florida State, some of these programs, you know, that have the history. They've done it before. They have the recruiting footprint. If Dabo Swinney's the head coach and won't adjust, he won't fire these coaches, bring in big-time coaches, you know, dive right into NIL, go to the transfer portal to fill gaps. If he won't do those things, it's been inevitable. I've been saying it for 2 years. It is happening right before our very eyes. And I don't know who the team is that's going to take those reins, but Clemson's giving them bitches up.
Hey, I like this. I love this. Who are these clowns, LMAO? And their name is Starkade ASAP.
Right.
So you don't even believe your own shit.
Yeah, who are these clowns? These clowns are fucking speaking the truth about your program that clearly you agree with. Starkade ASAP. Yeah, that's the answer. Put in a guy that has never played, and he will be the answer, because DJ is not the answer. It's not the coach's fault. It is DJ's fault. You are Dabo Swinney. You are Brandon Streeter. Is it? What if it's Brandon Streeter?
Yeah, that's him. That's him.
Brandon Streeter burner account is Starkade ASAP.
Pick up the phone. You could call a couple coaches that could help you out. Just pick up that damn phone. Fuck wrong with them. Last super chat, then I want to get to the next topic. Like Trevor against Ohio State in the playoffs, can you think of some games where you saw a player put a lesser team on their back and refuse to lose? Bro, I can think about it all the time.
Turn on any game in 2012 that Ohio State played. Braxton Miller carried fucking 110 players and 10 coaches and 20 support staff. He carried all of them on his back. Yes, I saw it every week my first year at Ohio State, every single week.
Hey, man, this shit has to stop. Starkade ASAP, a one-point win over mediocre LSU, and they're taking over the ACC. You lost the conference last year to fucking Pitt. Get off our fucking live, you dickhead.
You didn't. Pitt won your conference last year. Shut the fuck up and get out of our chat.
Man, Jordan Addison beat you like he stole something. those little walk-on safeties, they didn't have shit for them. Don't be mad at us. Match your fucking coach. Holy. People just get up in this chat just to we all right, anyway.
Move on.
After week one, Zach, who are your four most impressive teams? I'm not asking you for rankings, just four teams you were most impressed with.
I was most impressed with Alabama, one. Mm-hmm. And I know they didn't play a great team, but that team was a top 25 offense last year, and they beat them like a fucking drum. Georgia, 1B, because, again, Oregon looked down, but Georgia made them look like fucking pedestrians.
Exactly.
Georgia, certainly, two. I'm hesitant to say Ohio State, three, because of the disappointing offensive performance, but the defensive performance and my trust that the offense will rise again because of the faith I have in Ryan as an offensive coach and the faith I have in watching a lot of those players that were playing. I've seen them execute at a high level. So I'll say Ohio State, three, and then I guess I'll piggyback off of your list, Chris. And I think Florida had an impressive win against a solid-ass Utah team. I still think they have a long way to go before they ever compete with Georgia on a football field. But I think, you know, it was an impressive win. It was at home against Utah. Never in my time at Florida would that be an impressive win. But the state of Gator country, that was an impressive win.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this is the most toxic I've ever seen in our chat, Zach. I love it. You guys are nuts. My top five most impressive teams. Number one, I have UGA. I mean, they legitimately made Oregon look like a MAC school, and that really impressed me. Kind of the violence they run around with, I was impressed with. I was definitely impressed by Florida. I have them as my number two team. Doesn't mean I have them as a second best team. Just means I was impressed with them because they did take on a number seven Utah team that is good. And I am happy with the growth that Anthony Richardson showed. Obviously, if you did not watch yesterday's show, we did break it down. Zach did break it down because I don't really study film like that in terms of what Anthony Richardson does. But I was impressed by what I saw from Florida. Number three, I have Ohio State. And I know people are going to cook me on this, saying they weren't very impressive. For me, I was impressed because of the unit that I was most impressed with kind of across college football was the Ohio State defense. And not because I think they're the best defense in college football, but because they have the biggest turnaround. Now, I know people are going to talk about, you know, offenses and you know, is Notre Dame this, is Notre Dame that. But Notre Dame's offense is better than Georgia Tech's. And
Notre Dame is going to be a 10-2 football team.
Exactly. Exactly. At the worst, I believe. So I was very impressed by Ohio State's defense. Number four, I have Bama. All super impressive, Zach. But I guess, like, on my impressive scale, they didn't do anything I thought they wouldn't do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, yeah, I expected them to go out there and ball.
It was expected. That's why it wasn't as impressive.
Correct. Correct. And then number five is interesting for me because I don't like picking losers. But I was impressed by Notre Dame's defense as well. I mean, say what you will about this Ohio State offense. They are a good offense. They do have plenty of players who will get drafted on this offense. I was impressed by what I saw from Al and Marcus Freeman as a tandem, kind of calling the defense. I thought they did a very good job. So I have Notre Dame as my honorable mention. Along with Baylor, who won big as well, who I think is underrated, and I think it is interesting. Zach, that's what I got. Please don't cook me. You know, I don't disagree with that list.
I don't disagree much with that list. I think Notre Dame is an offense away. I think I agree their defense was impressive. Their offense didn't impress me much at all. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's one of those things. Like, who's to blame when a marriage ends, right? Like, oh, the husband cheated on her. Well, he's to blame. Well, the wife wasn't having sex with him anymore. Well, she's to blame. Like, it's like, all right, you could. So was Notre Dame's offense that bad or was Jim Knowles' defense that good? I mean, we don't know. That's why you have to let this play out for 4 or 5 weeks until you can really have a clear picture on what each side of the ball looks like and why they struggled or succeeded in certain scenarios. That's just how the game works.
Yep. I agree. It is it's tricky. And again, I will tell everybody, it is week one. This is not the end all be all. We're not saying that those four teams are going to make the playoffs. We're just saying that those are the teams that impressed us early in week one. Zach, I want
to
hit this.
And the other team I'll throw in there, Chris, was USC. I know they played fucking Rice, but this is what you get. This is what you deal with after week one. I think USC's defense impressed me enough to think that if Lincoln Riley has this offense cooking and gets it going offensively, which he's been known to do, if he has a formidable defense, there's a chance that USC makes some noise.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you this because this is a topic I think that I'm tracking pretty closely. Who do you think has the better defensive line, Ohio State or Clemson?
Ohio State.
You do? Okay. I'm just curious because I thought that going into the year, Clemson has the best unit, like the best defensive line unit in the country.
Yeah. I want to, Chris, I want to throw this chat up there. Hold on. Where'd it go?
That one was right. We can throw that up there. That's some positivity.
Brian Kelly is toxic. I want to talk about that, and we are more than fair on this episode. I appreciate it. But I got an email, Chris, that I forwarded to you. I don't even know if you got it yet because I just saw it before the show about what has happened at LSU with Brian Kelly. This email came from someone who went to a high school game and sat in front of a pair of parents whose son plays for LSU at a big-time high school. Not going to say the name of the high school because I don't want the kids' parents to get roasted. But they were talking about his experience with Brian Kelly. And there was three things they said that this one of our listeners emailed to me, a guy who I've went back and forth with several times. He said the first thing that Brian Kelly did where he lost the entire team was he cut all of the non-scholarship players, cut them. And then before training camp, realized he didn't have enough bodies, walk-ons, held an open tryout on campus for players. That he lost a lot of trust with players with his team when he did that, because as much as you don't want to discuss it, those walk-ons are an integral part of the culture. Those players are friends with them. There's kids that played walk-on receiver for me that are best friends with Paris Campbell, Terry McLaurin, Johnny Dixon, right? Best friends. They didn't play on the field, but they hung out in the locker room, hung out outside of the facility. They are their good friends, and he cut them all. All their friends gone. Kids for no reason. Why would you cut them? What?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Why?
They're not playing. They're not causing they're not cancerous because they're not playing. They're not expecting to play. They just want to be a part of the team and grind and be with their buddies that their friends that they've made through this process. The second thing he didn't have is he didn't have the academic structure for these players, because Notre Dame was such a high academic school, because Notre Dame had this shit in place. He didn't have the academic plan, and a lot of kids struggled academically to make grades and get things done. And the third and final point that this pair of parents made was Eddie Orgeron, for all his shortcomings, he was all in. He loved those players. He loved that team. The players' families felt like an extension of his family. They felt extremely close to him, whether he could coach football or not, whether he was a great scheme guy or not. They felt like it was a bond, like their son loved playing for Ed Orgeron. They feel the exact opposite from Brian Kelly. There is no bond. There is no care in the world for these players. He has built zero trust, and that is why there is this implosion at LSU right now.
I'm looking at the email now. Why would you cut the non-scholarship players?
I have no idea. It's just honestly one of the dumbest things I've ever heard a coach did. It just shows how out of touch he is with actually how to develop a culture and a championship football team, because those kids are the vital. That's a vital demographic, vital group of on your team is your walk-on group.
Absolutely. Got to throw the super chat up here. Then move on. Damn, I hate Brian Kelly, man. Every time I think I can't dislike him more, Zach, you need to throw some more seasoning on there.
Holy.
Thank you, Connor, for the two. God, I wish Clemson would have started off with UGA. Ooh-wee.
It would have looked not much different from the Georgia-Oregon game. I have a strong feeling.
Yeah, because I remember last year was when, Georgia was struggling on offense a little bit to start the year. But it would have looked very, very different. It would look very different. All right, Zach, want to move forward a little bit. Ohio State football. There's a growing perception because of what we saw on Saturday that Ohio State under Ryan Day is not a big game team. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that based on what we've seen so far.
I mean, I get why you could say that, because they lost to Michigan last year and offensively struggled a little bit against Notre Dame. Let's not forget, this same Ryan Day program beat Clemson soundly in the playoffs to go to the national championship game. I know they lost to Alabama. The defense was awry. They had tough Borland covering fucking Devontae Smith. I get it. But that was a big-time game they won. He also beat Michigan that same year. Exactly. Like he has won some big games. He has lost some big games. They struggled in week one offensively, but they won by double digits over who will end up being a top 10 team, a 10-2 team. Mm-hmm. So he certainly needs to prove that he can win it all. He needs to prove that he can actually beat the nation's elite and win a championship before he's in the conversation with Urban Meyer or Dabo Sweeney even, or any of those coaches, Nick Saban or Kirby Smart. He's not in that conversation yet because he doesn't have that ring, but he has won big games. Let's make no mistake about it. There's big games that he has won.
No, I agree. And I think it's interesting because I don't think it's Ryan Day not being a big game coach. I think more of the issue, I don't think CJ Stroud has come up big in big moments the way that Justin Fields has. And there's some recency bias there.
There's no doubt. But I mean, and then what is, you know, you look at his performance in other games that could be considered big games, right? Yeah, like Michigan State game last year. Michigan State beat the ACC champ in a bowl game, by the way, without Kenneth Walker III, their best player. They beat Pitt. They beat the ACC's crown jewel in a bowl game. Ryan Day beat that Michigan State team 59-7. So there was other games where it was a big, I mean, a pivotal game. That Michigan State game was huge. And they just beat the doors off of them.
And then obviously Utah. It's funny because like when you beat a top 10 team that bad, it like diminishes that kind of win. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like you beat them too bad.
But they it's like now it wasn't a big time win because it wasn't a close game. So like I think that, you know, you're expecting more out of Ryan Day's program than we've gotten so far, but it is a process. I mean, Urban Meyer won one national championship at Ohio State. And we're going to act like his tenure was that much better than Ryan's. Granted, he does have that one ring. But if and when Ryan wins one, I would contend that Ryan Day's tenure has been more productive than Urban's.
Yeah. He's lost one Big Ten game, just a single game. Of course, it's a big
critical one.
One, but just one, like in 3 years. It's ridiculous. Hey, this is so funny, bro. I'm feeling spicy, Zach. Like, I'm engaging the chat today. I hope that's okay. Eazy-E, this is in all caps for the podcast listeners. Notre Dame had like five white boy receivers and OSU couldn't even dominate them. Ha, 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 ha.
They did dominate them defensively. I don't know what you mean. This ignorant shit. This is the same guy that said Michigan State owns – Mel Tucker owns Ohio State. He's only coached against Ohio State once, and he lost 59-7. Like, what the fuck are we entertaining, Chris?
This shit is comedy, man. I love it here, dude. I love it here. Okay, Zach, last little topic before we get on out of here. I'm talking about utilizing talents. Mm-hmm. We ruffled some feathers yesterday when you said that mine was the better back than Trey. Because I think people see the talent. Trey has. I think there's no way anybody could be more talented. Obviously, I feel like Trey's the most talented back in, you know, Ohio State's had since Zeke. I've said that multiple times. Does Ohio State need to do a better job kind of scheming things to Trey's strengths, or is it on Trey to get up ahead and kind of learn to be a better running back so he can be more productive in those areas that we had seen Mayan really do well?
Well, I guess it would be the same conversation as if we said, who would be the better quarterback for Paul Johnson's offense at Georgia Tech, Tate Martell or Dwayne Haskins?
Quarterback, yeah.
Now, the answer is Tate Martell. Does that mean that Tate is better than Dwayne? Fuck no. But it's what is this scheme and what are these coaches asking that position to do? And so right now, what they asked the running back position to do in week one, Mayan is the better back for that. Now, if they start getting, you know, creative and finding ways to get the running back in space, I'm hopeful that Trevion is the better back because he has a skill set that is exceptional. That being said, Mayan was better in the open field last year also. So Trey's a lot of projection. He was a young player, obviously a true freshman, didn't play his senior year. I think there's a higher ceiling with Trevion Henderson. But as of today, Mayan is the better back. He just is. And that's not to say that Trevion won't be the better back in the end. But the good news is for Buckeye fans, the good news is for Tony Alford is both of them are really fucking good. So it's not a problem. You can play both. Both will get touches. But I do think that they need to find ways to get Trey in space because he has the potential to be a dynamic open field runner.
No, I generally agree with that. I think Trey in space. I think it's crazy that when JSN went down, we didn't try to get Trey the ball at all, like on the passing game. I know that's kind of been a staple for Ryan Day. Ryan Day doesn't love to throw the running backs the ball. I don't know if you remember back in 2020, Trey Sermon, I think his like longest pass play of the year was the 56-yarder at the end of the season against Clemson in the playoffs. So that seems to be a part of it. But watching those screens that Georgia Tech kept running yesterday, it really, to me, can open up some things because I believe with the ball in his hands, I think Trey is a more dangerous back than Mayan. Would you have Trey returning kicks and punts to try to get him the ball more? Because we talked about how he is Saquon Barkley-esque. Do you think there needs to be an attempt to use him more like Saquon? Because Saquon, they line him up in the slot, they give him the ball.
Here's what I don't know, but I would take a fairly well-educated guess that he probably struggles catching punts. Punts are really hard to catch. Now, kickoffs are much easier. I would love to see him back there. I'm not against Emeka Egbuka being back there. I think that's the reality, that they feel like they have a home run hitter in number two. And so why would you take a home run hitter out for a talented running back that might be also a home run hitter when you know you have one? And that being said, he hasn't hit a home run yet. Yeah. But I think they, They have the best returner that Ohio State has had in, I mean, probably 7 years. So I don't know you would bench him to put Trey back there to get him more touches. I think you feature your best returner, and I think that's what they're doing. But there's they will – trust me. I know Ryan really well. In the next couple games and by Wisconsin, they will – Travion Henderson will be in space. There is no doubt he will be in space. Ryan watched that film on Sunday and said, fuck, we need to get him in space. We didn't get him in space nearly like we should have.
If I pointed a gun at you right now, death being pointed at you, and I said, tell me – who the most dynamic player with the ball in his hands is on this offense, who would you say?
Who is what?
Who's the most dynamic player with the ball in his hands on this offense? Like, you have to get this question right, or the deck beam blows up the house.
I mean, I would say Travion Henderson just because he's been the most dynamic one I've seen on film in games. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that Emeka Egbuka isn't or Marvin Harrison Jr. isn't, but Trey has at least put it on tape that he can be a dynamic ball carrier in space. So you got to give him the nod. But I think Emeka might be the best. Close. I just haven't really seen it yet.
Okay. No, I got you. I was just curious. I do think it is Trey. I have Trey a little bit ahead of – it just feels different when the ball's in his hands, like that first step burst, that second burst. It's there for me. Aaron, thank you for the two. Zach, do you think C.J. Stroud is soft? We don't like that term.
I'm not going to call him soft, but he certainly – doesn't do some of the things that he could do to be an even more dominant player. And one of those things is running the football. Call it what you want. Doesn't want to get hit. Doesn't want to be a runner. However you want to classify that, soft or just, you know, lack of desire, whatever you want to say about it, that is what is factual. He doesn't want to be a runner and use his legs to be a more dynamic player. He doesn't.
Justin Fields is him. C.J. Stroud is not him. I'm not going to call any kids soft, but that is kind of the end of that. Question for you, Zach. This came from our Menace VIP chat. Whenever they kind of shoot us a message, we always like to answer it. Thank you for this one. Zach, how hard are you coaching today? Is it more Arkansas State prep or more Ohio State review and making adjustments?
Yeah, I mean, when you play a game like this, Arkansas State, your entire focus is to develop these players, make them better, right? Your focus is not beating Arkansas State. Your job is to not fuck it up and have an App State situation happen. But your job is to use this week to develop your football team and your players. That's what you're trying to do. So I guess you're trying to develop Ohio State more so than beat Arkansas State, because you should be able to roll out there on Saturday and beat Arkansas State no matter what the fuck you do. You just should. So this week is, I mean, you're coaching your ass off because you're viewing this week as kind of a training camp, a bonus training camp week where you can really get some development out of these kids. Where if you're playing Notre Dame, most of it is about Notre Dame prep, right? So the next 2 weeks are critical development weeks for the players and scheme and both sides of the ball, because it's truly, all right, like it's a 2 week race to get as much development done as we can to, you know, be a better football team going into the meat of the schedule, going into those tougher games. It also is a great opportunity during these 2 weeks to develop some young guys and coach the shit out of them. They went through training camp, had their role for the first game. Now it's like they're reborn. It's like you have 2 weeks to kind of show what you're going to do. You're going to get to play, assuming the games go as they should. So It's a chance for a young guy to pop. And all of a sudden you're looking and you say, holy shit, like Sonny Styles, he might be ready. He might play this year, right? So one of these young freshmen might play this year. And so it's a critical 2 weeks, despite the teams that they're playing. These 2 weeks are as important as the Notre Dame week when it comes to full season development.
Here for it. Final question before we get out of here, Zach. Andrew Johnson, thank you for the five. As far as their Ohio State careers, rank Tressel, Urban, and Day. Can I rank them first before
you go? It's tough to do because each piggybacked off of their previous predecessor. Yeah. I would say that Urban is one, Tressel is two, Ryan is three, only because Urban took the program to new heights. Now at the same, it's tough. At the same time, Tressel built an actual foundation for this program. I mean, the John Cooper era was a disaster when it came to the foundational aspects that we watch Ohio State today. So I honestly might go Tressel 1, Urban 2, Ryan 3. Because without Tressel's foundation, who's to know? Would Urban Meyer have even taken the job, right? Let alone would he have reached the heights he did reach. So that is an interesting question, and it just depends on what you weigh more. Urban took it to heights that Jim Tressel never dreamt of when it came to national recruiting, national relevancy. I mean, Ohio State was always a really solid team. They were in a couple national championships, but they were never the upper echelon, the top dog in college football. Urban brought Alabama right to the table of Nick Saban's kitchen and proved that Ohio State belonged with Alabama. Jim Tressel never did that, right? He had that an initial spark in 2002 or whatever it was when they beat Miami, and what a broke statement Miami nationally that Ohio State could compete with that fucking team. But then after that, they always kind of fell a little bit short, where Urban pushed through that barrier, and now Ryan is taking it to another height, but he needs to win one before he can even be in that conversation. Ryan is in this, I mean, he's in the playoffs or just missed the playoffs every year.
Yeah, no, right. And last season was his first two-loss season. Thank you for the five. Do you put Kyle in against Arkansas State, or is this a game where you let CJ eat and get his confidence back on the field?
Well, I mean, this game, CJ should play the first half and maybe the first drive of the second half. And assuming the game's out of hand, then that's when you bring the backups in. You don't want to not play CJ. He needs all these game reps, right? You need to see him play the game and let him, like he said, get his confidence back, get in a rhythm, get used to playing games. He's only played one, and it was a massive atmosphere, and he didn't have a lot of success. So you need him to get his confidence back through success, but then you don't want to get the kid hurt. I mean, he's your franchise. You got to get him out, and you want guys like Kyle McCord and Devin Brown. You want him to get those game reps in case at some point you turn to him and say, hey, you're the starting quarterback now.
Yeah. No, I agree.
You're made of.
You got to get him to ball in. He's got to ball in and get out quickly, especially because Weipler's in a boot right now. You don't want him out there for too long with the kind of patchwork offensive line. You want that offensive line to grow and kind of go through the growing pains together without it resulting in your starting quarterback getting hurt. And obviously that kind of, you know, it's a season changer. Zach, I got nothing else for the day. Great show, my man. And chat, you guys were active. Give yourselves a round of applause.
For sure. As I told you yesterday's show is going to be our biggest show we've ever done on YouTube. So I'm going to ask you again, Menace Army, 589 people in here watching live. Go right there, hit share, copy the link, and text this video to friend group chats. I mean, be a friend, tell a friend. Tell somebody about it. Share it on social media. Help us make this platform grow. Also, while you're here, like, subscribe, click the bell so you know when we're going live at noon every day, Monday through Friday. We also have our reaction shows on Saturday after the Ohio State game, our Sunday call-in show. If you want that phone number, it's for VIP Menace Army subscribers on Patreon. The link is in the bio. We appreciate everybody. Menace out.